Welcome to episode 4 of the Asia Business Investor podcast. In this episode, we are again returning to China, where we want to look at specifically the methods in which entrepreneurs can enter the Chinese market to set up businesses there. We're interviewing Rebecca Zhao from Shanghai City Development Law Firm. Rebecca has kindly joined us today to share her views on how to set up business in China and the various business vehicles to invest in China. Hello, Rebecca. Thanks for joining us on the Asia Business Investor podcast.
Hello, Nicholas. Thanks for having me.
Could you start by telling us about your firm?
Shanghai City Development Law Firm was established in 1992, and it's the first law firm specializing legal services to project development and cooperation management in China. In the past 16 years, the firm has not only built a reputation in China project construction and development market, but also accumulated extensive experience in foreign direct investment, corporate laws, M&A, and bank and finance, and also on IP laws.
Now, for those individuals, entrepreneurs, and businesses based outside of China that are considering investing in China or entering the China market, could you explain some of the various methods whereby it is possible to enter the Chinese market?
Currently, there are three most common ways to enter the China market. There is a RO, which is representative offices, but there also is WFOE, so wholly foreign owned enterprises. And another way is to establish a joint venture with a Chinese partner.
Could you explain to me what the differences are between a representative office, a WFOE, and a joint venture as market entry vehicles for China?
WFOE, as I just mentioned, has a full control over management and operations, and it is much more flexible in capital strategic issues. And it is definitely give you full control of everything. But joint venture, usually it's a Chinese market. I establish a company with a foreign company together. But it definitely could give you the immediate access to the local knowledge and also establish your relationship with the government. And also offers you, adequate management talents and able to help you to establish domestic brands and market with the full leverage. But the disadvantage is because the Chinese partner saying that you can never be sure that whether this partner is ever going to quit or is really contributing 100% to your company. And then there is this difference in management styles and the company cultures, because I know there are a lot of Chinese company right now, they have fluent English speakers, but deep down to their knowledge in the culture sense, it is absolutely nothing. So that could be a huge problem.
Beforehand, you mentioned WFOEs. Could you explain to the audience what a WFOE is?
A WFOE is a wholly foreign owned enterprise. Nowadays, it's probably the most common one among foreign investors in China, because it definitely has a full power for foreign investors to conduct their operations here. And it has the good advantage about that is, first, you have the full control over the management and operations. And second, you have more flexibility in the company's strategic issues. And it is also very easier to repatriate profits, of course. And it's one of the other merits about it is it's a much better protection of the IPR.
I can see
but
that.
But also the disadvantage about that is the higher restrictions capital required. And in China nowadays, the minimum registration capital is around $140,000. And also take much longer time to get access to the local knowledge and context of market. So that's probably a little bit disadvantage for that.
Could you give some examples of some types of woofies that you've seen set up?
Well, the large ones, there are definitely a lot of large companies where I cannot say that especially which one is which, but I can tell the others that especially Shanghai nowadays, there are like almost as my knowledge concerns that is most European guys, especially Germans and Austrians and French, that are, there are all companies in Shanghai. And there are actually all media or large companies.
So were there some specific examples of the wrong way to enter the Chinese market that you've seen?
Well, I was helping this German company. And it's a big manufacturing company producing plastic parts for the Chinese market and also European market. So they entered the market with one legal consultant, one in-house legal consultant. And it actually happened out that this legal consultant was not really very knowledgeable in legal issues and are not very strong networkers in the government relationships. So it turned out they cannot get their approvals down. They cannot get the government license. So the legal consultant had to ask a company to pay a lot of money to him, and then he pays the money to the government, some kind of people to do the little bribe thing. But now, since they got the license now, they need to do a lot more other approvals. So they need to pay a lot more money in this case. So it's getting bigger and bigger, and they're just totally going crazy.
So what do you characterize to be some of the best business opportunities in China today?
Well, it's definitely real estate. And I think in China nowadays, actually, in every field, there are good business opportunities because the opportunities here in China is definitely seemingly endless. And with 1.3 billion people in the China market, I think there is good everywhere. There's good everywhere. But I think real estate is definitely the number one good in China.
Why do you say real estate in particular at the moment?
Well, I happen to have a friend who's Austrian and in China, and he started his real estate company, which is helping foreign expatriate families here in China to find their resident places like apartments and villas or house. And I think he started back in 2004, 2005. And now he has almost six companies all around China to do this for the expatriate families. And now the business is going up and up, and I think he's probably going to have all this real estate company all over China in major, big, or major cities. So, and also, in the past few years, the Chinese market, especially for the housing, is going up and up. But this year, it's going a little bit down. But our expectation is later, because now it's post-Olympic, then the housing market is going to grow again. So the thing about Chinese market for the housing investment is you can never go wrong. Just buy a house in Shanghai and it will never go and devaluate.
All right. How do you think that foreign businesses, such as a foreign real estate company, need to adapt if they go and conduct business in China?
Well, first of all, they have to accept China from their heart. Because I know a lot of foreign businessmen come to China, but they actually don't like China, or they actually don't like the way Chinese behave and the China society. But if you really want to do business here in China, you have to be willing to open your eyes and explore in the China market. Second thing is you have to be a little bit cultural sensitive. After all, China is a completely different country than US or European countries or Australia. The way Chinese people think and do is definitely the opposite as what we commonly thought. So you have to be sensitive about this part and then really trying to understand them and respect them. And the third is you have to be a little bit patient in the China market, because and when you do business back in US and you find everything, business transaction is really quick and everything just get it down. But in China, normally you have to wait a lot longer. And in my guess, that's probably 1 or 2 months longer than the business transaction in US. So you got to be really, well, take a few days or take a few months to wait for it.
Yeah, I can see that. Mm-hmm. So is there one piece of advice you could get to anyone looking at entering the Chinese market, that one central thing you could say to them?
Well, can I say two?
You can say two, sure.
Well, first thing you're going to do your due diligence. Mm-hmm. You have to do a full cover due diligence. All right, because China is such a big country. So if you go to Shanghai, you think Shanghai is a very international city and China is a very international country. But if you go west, you go to Tibet, it's a total different planet, I can tell you. So you have to do your due diligence according to which part of the area that you want to invest. And the second most important thing is you have to build your relationship with Chinese. We all know that building relationship is very important everywhere in the world. But in China, it's much more critical and subtle. That in China, if you know somebody in the government that can help you get the things done, that could mean much more than $1 million. So you have to do that.
Okay. Just so our listeners can learn more about your firm, could you just give us your web address?
Our website is www.jianwei.com. But do you need me to spare it?
I'll put it in the notes on the podcast so people can actually go and have a look at it. Thanks for your time today.
You're welcome.
For those of our listeners that may have questions about market entry into China, Rebecca has kindly informed me that she is available and easily findable on LinkedIn. So go on to LinkedIn, you can find Rebecca Chow. And you may have a question you might wish to ask her, or simply visit our website, asiabusinessinvestor.com, where you can see a list of business opportunities in China and in other parts of Asia, simply by searching the database. You can also find details on Rebecca Wong's firm and their legal services. Until next episode, thank you.